Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm gonna get him!
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located here in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. We simulcast on Blog Talk, BTR, and you can watch us live. Just tune your computers right to our live YouTube feed. There you can see us in living color. Links to each audio video venue. Broadcasting venue can be found right here at our home base on the internet at HagmanandHagman.com. Spell it all out, HagmanandHagman.com. We've got two websites, by the way, HagmanandHagman.com and HagmanandReport.com. The latter, of course, is for news information analysis of the news, show prep, important information. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigator, researcher. My son, Joe Hagman, together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We really attempt to bring forth the news, the information, the pertinent stuff that's taking place today. A lot of times the alternative media or the new media refuse to cover certain issues. Folks, what we're looking at today is a mosaic, a tapestry of news events. You've got economic meltdowns taking place. You've got war games. And I say war games, that's perhaps not the correct terminology, but you've got war maneuvers. You've got the geopolitics of war taking place all across the world. You've got domestic civil unrest. You've got associated with the economic collapse, you've got the haves versus the have-nots. We are looking at an economic downturn in our future. It has to be. When? We don't know. But we need to prepare for it. A lot of crisis, matters of crisis taking place. This is not to cause fear or panic. Certainly not. This is a level of awareness that you're not getting on the major mainstream Illuminati or power broker Luciferian controlled mass media. This is all fact. Now tonight we have a very good, very interesting, very wonderful show planned for you. The first 2 hours we're going to be talking about an issue that involves the U.S. Department of Justice, U.S. Department of Education, Office of Civil Rights, Civil Rights Division, and the takeover of America. Now this is extremely important. Because, and I mentioned the tapestry or the mosaic of events, folks, this is one of the cornerstones of that tapestry. And that subject is changing the terminology, changing the entirety of our culture, both religious and social. They're intertwined, and people need to understand that. Before we get to our guests to explain this, I want to mention that tonight's broadcast, portion of tonight's broadcast, brought to you by Whole Tones Live. Folks, visit Whole Tones Live. Now, perhaps more than ever, you need Whole Tones Live, because the frequencies of their music, just the amazing frequencies, tapping into the music of the Bible, King David, just the wonderful sounds to calm your heart, to increase your mental acuity, whatever it might be, can be found at wholetoneslive.com. This is not New Age, not at all. This is biblically based. We had Michael Terrell on our show not too long ago, and he explained all of that. More on that later. Getting back to the topic here, again, we are undergoing a major cultural assault. The entirety of the West, but specifically at the tip of the spear, it's the United States of America. We are being forced to change our belief system. We are being forced to change our language. We are being forced to change our speech. On the horizon, and in the not too distant future, will be criminal legislation, or legislation laws that will be made to criminalize certain speech. Focus has been on criminalizing the ideological cult of Islam. That's one aspect, but even more importantly, and having the grease, or having the skids grease into this change, is in fact the what's taking place with our sexual identity, if you will. Don't forget, much of what we have talked about, whether it be the Genesis 6 giants. Oh, what is that? Well, going back into the Bible, of course, you saw the pre-flood days, in the days of Noah. What was taking place? You had a lot of things going on at the same time, some of which was, of course, the perversion of sexuality. This is at the core. We talk about the New World Order. The New World Order is nothing but the Old World Order times two, revamped. Some say New or Old World Order 2.0, but I think it's Old World Order squared, because what we're looking at is a perversion of not just our culture, but our faith and our doctrine, because many Christian pastors, many Christians themselves, are not seeing the importance of what has taken place over the last, 11 months since Obergefell, the Supreme Court opinion. And I stress opinion because many people will say, well, now gay marriage, which, by the way, is incorrect terminology. This is going to be a very serious show rule instituted. We must not substitute the word gay for homosexual. Either you use homosexual or sodomite. It's the same. And if that's offensive, sorry, but that's language. That's true. That's the truth. Why is this important? Because the Tavistock Institute, going back in history, the Tavistock Institute, the various other secret societies, the Madison Avenue, Edward Bernays, all of everything that we've seen, they are molding our conscious actions. They are attempting to mold us, to steer us in a direction which we must not be steered into. Please understand that what we're witnessing is not a civil rights issue. It is not a Title IX issue. And when I speak of this, I'm talking about the treatment of those people who are said to be gender identity questionable. In other words, if a boy, young boy, or middle-aged boy, or a guy even, walks into a school or a store and says, you know, I identify myself as a female, then of course that person, by law now, especially in the schools, according to a memorandum by the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. Department of Education, must not be discriminated against and must be allowed to use the facilities of his or her choice or whatever gender that person identifies with. In my hands, and Joe and I both have this in our hands, we have the May 13th, 2016 memorandum issued by the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. Department of Education. It's a, I think it's a five-page, it's a five-page document with an additional 3 pages of citations. That is a directive to schools all across the country that they must strive to create and sustain inclusive, supportive, safe, and non-discriminatory communities for all students. Okay, we get that. It would be nice, but see, what's happening is this. They're changing our language. They're changing our culture. They're changing and assaulting our religious beliefs. And every person who identifies with the Christian faith or the Judeo-Christian faith or every Christian, self-professing Christian out there, needs to understand the importance of this particular issue in the end game. Some might say, well, wait, this is a diversion against what's really important. What's really important, Doug and Joe and Eric the Tech, it's not this. It's the election. It's Trump versus Hillary or Trump versus Sanders or the economy or the foreign wars or Iran or the threat from ISIS. That's what's really important because everything else is just a diversion. No, no. Those people speak from ignorance. Please understand, this is bigger than you can imagine. But it's bigger because it is part of the larger tapestry of the assault against the American people. I'm not reading from a script. This is from my heart. But not just the American people. Everyone in the West. Every constitution or believer in the constitution, every believer in the Christian Bible, every believer in the Torah, and even as out there as it sounds, every believer in the Quran, and perhaps especially, this is how twisted this is. What has happened over the last, well, what has happened since a burger fell, but solidified via regulations on May 13th, Friday the 13th, 2016, is the Justice Department teamed up with the Department of Education to issue a memorandum to all schools across the country and all schools who receive federal aid that they must adhere to a certain set of guidelines under the guise of Title IX. Title IX is the civil rights. Just so you know, folks, when Title IX is referenced here, Title IX is all about, well, it states that no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. In other words, the school systems all across America are being held hostage by this regulation that dictates new terminology about gender that dictates an equal, shall we say, an equal rights platform, but a special rights. What's at issue here is not equal rights for those people who are homosexual, who are transgendered. This is the creation of a special class at the expense of 98.5% of the population for a cause, for a larger objective. Folks, make no mistake about this. The larger objective is the takedown, the absolute takedown of Western culture, of the nuclear family, of God's definition of a family. And are the entirety of the West. This is an assault on Western civilization, as much as it's an assault on Christianity. This is an assault against every one of us who cares about our faith, and who cares about our once great country? I'm going to close this and bring on our rear toss it to Joe here in just a second, but I just want people to understand the reason we are giving so much mic time to this. If you understood the years of, and decades of planning that has gone into this, we are witnessing the end game of this objective. We are witnessing right now history being made in the form of our language being changed, policies being dictated, and money being poured into, or in some cases perhaps diverted, because of a perverse doctrine. And I'll go so far to say that this is a perverse doctrine of demons. Why do I say that? Because those Christians who know the Bible know how Scripture, know how God's Word has been perverted. This country, this once great country at Plymouth Rock, was founded upon the Mayflower Compact and founded upon the Judeo-Christian ethic and the rights of Christian to practice their faith, our faith, without molestation. That's imperiled right now. In fact, I would say that that is, at this point, no longer, we are no longer able to do that. Folks, in I don't know when, months, perhaps, year, I don't know, soon, you and I will not be able to speak the truth about heterosexuality, about the normalcy of marriage. We will not be able to protest against homosexuality in our schools. We will not be able to be a buffer, a protector of our 13-year-old daughters or granddaughters in the school locker rooms or the restrooms. We will be called bigots, or not bigots, but we will be called homophobes. We will be called names like you can't believe by a very small minority. I mean, an extremely small minority of people who want to change this country, the West, and want to take down Christianity. And if you don't believe how serious this is right now, hang around, as they say. Stick around. Because it's a lot, it's about to get a lot worse. The terminology contained in this directive is abhorrent. They've changed terminology to reflect, well, they've perverted our language and are forcing you to use certain words. Don't do that. You stand, as Christians, you stand in the gap and say, no, I refuse to say gay in place of homosexual. I refuse to say gay in place of sodomy. I refuse to say transgendered, because frankly, that's it's a lie. But you're not going to be told that. I refuse to say homosexual gay marriage. Folks, we're not going to be able to have this freedom much longer to call this out for what it is. You think that this is not a big deal? This is a huge deal. Understand where it comes from. Research the. And Joe and I appeared on the Pastor Paul Begley show today. We talked about the theosophy of Alice Bailey. And if you're not familiar with the theosophy of Alice Bailey, please get familiar with that, because it's in play right here. If you're not familiar with the Tavistock Institute, please become familiar with the Tavistock Institute. The molding of our language, the molding of our social, well, we're being socially engineered, really, at the point of a gun. And let me say this. What we're seeing right now is the power of the state. The power of the state. And when I say power of the state, I'm talking about the power of the government. State being part of it. What comes next? The violence of the state. Violence of the state always follows power of the state. Think about that, of course, as you listen to our guests, Flip Benham, Pastor Flip Benham, and John Robertson from the left coast, and Pastor Flip Benham. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
Yeah, we got a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. The first, the rest of this hour and into next hour, John Robertson will be with us, as well as Flip Benham from OperationSaveAmerica.org. They're going to be talking about some of these issues, and then we're going to have Standeo in hour number three. I'm going to turn it over to you, John. Welcome, John. Welcome, Flip, back to the Hagman and Hagman Report. It's great to have you, and really interested to hear what you guys have to say tonight.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for bringing Brother Flip Benham and myself on to the Hagman and Hagman Report this evening on such short notice. And Doug, you know, as I listen to you summarize the fulcrum point that our nation has found itself poised upon, you know, I was reminded of George Washington's quote about government, eloquence, and fire. And Doug, whereas your words were quite eloquent this evening, I would submit to all the Hagman and Hagman listeners tonight that in fact Doug Hagman's words this evening were fire. And that's what we're dealing with tonight, because the gates of hell have been thrown open. The hellfire is lapping all over our lives. When I last spoke on the Hagman and Hagman Report about 2.5 weeks ago, folks, we brought in that show about the church. Satan was at your door. His little cloven feet were prancing on your doormat, and he was at your door. Now, tonight, as you hear my voice, hear me, church, Satan is in your house. Okay? So you've got three choices. You've got three choices. You've got a crescent wrench, you've got the inerrant word of God, and you've got a 12-gauge shotgun. You can try to fix it, minister to it, or kill it. But you're dealing with nothing less than a demonic, satanic agenda that started in 1962 when they hoodwinked the American citizenry into taking prayer out of schools. They removed the beseeching of the Almighty God in the framing of our children's education in 1962. And you know what we did? We stood by and we waited. We said, well, we'll wait and see. Well, let me tell you what we waited and what we saw. For 1973, Roe v. Wade began, folks, the butchery of over 50 million of the most innocent children among us. That would be those that are unborn, that rely on the nutrition and the love of their mothers to even get them into this world. 1973. Take a look at last summer. Last year, June 2015, we were yet again waiting and seeing, going to our prayer closets, praying prayers of convenience while Satan was in full attack mode. And the Supreme Court handed down its opinion that whereas the most sacred and sanctified institution in the history of humanity, that of marriage, which creates the nuclear family, which is the single foundational building block of civilization itself, needed to be fixed. Of course, it wasn't broken, but it needed to be fixed. And so they handed down their opinion and essentially, across all 50 states, destroyed that which they have no right to destroy, that which is ordained by God, which is marriage, the impetus, the start point for the nuclear family. Just to touch quickly on what Doug's already talked about, 4 days ago, Friday the 13th, 2016, our president, quote-unquote, King Hussein, handed down a mandate from the White House through his U.S. Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. And that mandate, folks, is really two things, okay? Number one, it is a federal blackmail scam. Number two, and more importantly, it is a satanic attack on your kids, on your grandkids, your neighbors' kids. It's a direct satanic attack on any kids in any school that receives federal funding. I'm not even going to go any further tonight without just lifting this show up in prayer. With your permission, Doug and Joe, I'd like to say a quick prayer.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Folks, you may hear my voice this evening and Brother Flip Benham's and Doug's and Joe's, but let me assure you that you are hearing the voices of so many of the brothers who congregate around this show, because let me tell you something, Hagman listeners, the men of the Hagman and Hagman Report are not happy, and we're not going to let this stand. And I've got news for President Obama and for Loretta Lynch. They're getting in our face. Well, I'm getting in their faces back, but I'm going to do so like the ancient Israelites, with the power of Almighty God behind me. Lord God, we just come before you humbly, Lord. We pray that you humble our hearts this evening and open us up to that sweet spot, Father God, that only your love and your and your strength and power can bring within us, Lord, that sweet spot where we find love for our brothers, but within that love, truth that must be stated to our brothers. And at the same time, Father God, with our right hand, may we pick up your holy word, but in our left, Lord, hand me a sword. It's time to fight, Father God, and I just pray that you would keep violence from our hearts, but that you would fortify us for battle as we do this thing tonight, Lord God, that must be done. And Father, as always, I thank you for this opportunity and for this platform, and I thank you for Doug and Joe and Greg and Pastor Langford and Pastor Flip and Chance and Sergeant Tim, for all of the men who have backed me up these last 3 days. Thank you, Lord, and I just give this show completely back to you, Father. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus, by whose stripes we're healed, and by whose blood we are redeemed. Amen. Folks, bottom line is this. Last week, it was unsafe for your kids to pee in Target. Okay? This week, it's unsafe for your kids to go to public school. Now, most of you know what I'm talking about, but the bottom line is this, and we're going to tear this apart. All right? We're going to rip it from its very seams here tonight. But your 13-year-old daughter can literally go to volleyball practice. She can go to 8th grade volleyball practice and wind up changing next to like a 13 or 14 year old boy in the locker room. She can risk being exposed to, you know, it just your standard puberty driven male, even a quote unquote teammate, in the locker room or even in the showers at school. I really need you folks to just take an objective moment to hear what I'm saying to you, what Doug is saying to you, what Greg Jackson was talking about last night, what Rick Wiles threw down on his show Friday on True News. Your sons and daughters are at risk at public schools, schools that you pay for, of nothing short of potential molestation or even rape just by simply wanting to use the restroom or participate in sports. And I want to make something clear here tonight. This is not about anything to do with transgender. Okay, transgender, as Doug already pointed out, is Orwellian, refers to George Orwell, who wrote 1984, actually back in 1948. Transgender is Orwellian newspeak, okay? That's all it is. Your gender was appointed by God, and it cannot be transitioned, cannot be transmuted, it cannot be transferred. I heard Greg last night, and I quote Greg Jackson, quote, "You're either a chick or a dude," unquote. Anyway, last Friday, as I said, I heard Rick Wilde's intro on True News, and I got mad. You know, I got really hot. And so I called all of my guys. I called Greg Jackson, Chance, Sergeant Tim, talked to Joe, I talked to my dad even. And I said, you know what, guys, we need to circle the wagons, and we need to start hitting back, and we need to do it now. So I recommend everybody hearing my voice, everybody about to be blessed by Brother Flip Benham, folks, get your Ephesians 6 armor on, because we're fired up. And as I said a moment ago, the men that congregate around the Hagman and Hagman Report are not happy. And I am incredibly grateful and blessed that I get to be the person, as Doug said a moment ago, to share some mic time with all of you tonight. But I want to make very clear that my effort tonight is in a sense speaking for so many more of the men whose chest rests on my shoulder blade right now at this very moment. Look, Satan is a master manipulator, okay? He uses irrational emotionalism, and he creates, he uses emotionalism as like the greatest generator of confusion. I want to quote this from CNN.com. Bear with me, folks. I'm going to give you a little bit of meat and potatoes, and I'm going to hand it to Brother Flip. This is from CNN.com 4 days ago. I'm quoting U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch. I'd like to remind the listeners that she is the highest law enforcement officer in the country. She's the top cop. She runs the Department of Justice. It says, quote, Loretta Lynch, "It was not so very long ago that states including North Carolina had other signs above restrooms, water fountains, and on public accommodations, keeping people out based on a distinction without a difference. Well, we've moved beyond those dark days," end quote. And we've moved into much, much darker days, folks. So let's break this down a little bit. Distinction without a difference? I mean, what does that even mean, except that whoever wrote it can, you know, can string a couple words that start with D together? I mean, anyway, here's my direct statement to Attorney General Loretta Lynch. With all due respect, Loretta Lynch, with all due respect to the office that you hold And with all due respect to the office that your predecessor held from 1961 to 1963, and I'm talking about Robert F. Kennedy, who, along with his brother, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was a champion of legitimate civil rights. You hear what she did, folks? She took the civil rights movement that defended a person's ethnicity given to them by God and compared this transgender issue to it. If I were a person of color, I would be grossly, deeply offended by that. Loretta Lynch, I'm telling you, Dr. King fought to defend the rights of all men and women and their genetic makeup. Again, with all due respect to the office that you hold, you, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, are a distinction without a difference. Flip, I'm going to hand it to you.
Well, thanks, John and Doug and Joe. This is a great time to be alive for Christians. I mean, we are seeing things in a way that maybe a lot of us have been preaching about before prophetically, but now we're seeing that these chickens are coming home to roost, and this enemy that we fight, well, it's really a battle between two worldviews. And there's only two. And I'd like to take you all the way back to the beginning so that you can see this thing from a biblical perspective through a biblical grid, and that your heart will not be filled with fear. It will not be filled with hopelessness, but it will be filled with joy in knowing that we are God's answer to this problem that we're facing right now. And it isn't about transgender, which is nonsense. There isn't anything between a man or a woman, and God created them both in Genesis chapter 2. One was man, one was woman. There's nothing in between. One is XX and one is XY. The male is XY and the woman is XX. Nothing changes that. You're born with that. That's who you are. And you can't try to change it, no matter what you feel like. And you see, it's God's truth that is being challenged. And now the enemy has gotten to a place in power in our nation where it now takes government that was meant to be used for our good to punish those who do evil and to reward those who do good. You find that in Romans chapter 13. And now we have a government that is punishing those that will do good, according to the Bible, and it is rewarding those who do evil. In the Bible, it tells us the wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. And that's so true, and we are seeing that now. And some of us get really discombobulated at this battle, but it has been going on for all of the millennia that we have been here on this earth. That's right. When that devil was thrown out of heaven and conquered by the Archangel Michael, and the demons were cast out of heaven, one-third of them that joined the devil in rebellion, and they were cast to this earth, they were here. And God created man to take care of this issue, to take care of this battle, that our enemies would be made a footstool under his feet. And our enemy is his enemy, and his enemy was on this earth. Darkness was in the earth when the whole creation event began. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now listen, I'm going to give you just this little history, and it's going to be very simple for you. It's important for us to get a bird's eye view before we get a worm's eye view and get involved in all of these different manifestations of the battle that are now just percolating all over the face of this earth and just taking over our culture. We've got to find out what is the real problem, because what you perceive the battle to be will determine how you fight it. And if you see it in the way that the Bible sees it, then you know that you will be in with the great church of Jesus Christ, with the nation Israel, in the battle that has been fought, a spiritual battle that manifests itself physically on this earth, but it is a battle being fought for the entire cosmos, and we are privileged to be the soldiers in that battle. And so we see in Genesis chapter 3 that the devil, the first thing he does is call God's word into question. You talk about George Orwell that wrote that book in 1948, called 1984, and he talks about Newspeak. This devil is the author, this rebel is the author of Newspeak. And when Adam and Eve were now on the earth, Adam created out of the dust, Eve out of the rib of man, and there they were, the apple of God's eye, to take authority and have dominion over the entire earth. But there was one here that wanted that more, and there was one here that hated Adam and Eve, and he was there in the garden watching. He was watching, and when he found an opportunity, as Adam was sitting back, he went to Eve. Eve, it tells us in the Bible, in the New Testament, was deceived, but Adam sinned. It was Adam who the devil was really after, but he was going to get to him through Eve. And Eve was the one, it tells us in 1 Timothy, that was the one who was deceived. And so we see this battle going on. He said, look, did God really say, the first thing he did was just call God's word into question. Did God really say? You know, some questions, when they're asked with evil intent, are questions that never should be answered, only refuted. And so this was with evil intent to bring the downfall of man and woman. And Adam was sitting back, and it was, yes, we can eat of the tree of any tree, eat of this tree and the fruit of any tree in the garden, except the tree that's in the middle of the garden. And that was, of course, called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what's bad about knowing about good and evil? Well, the word for knowledge in the Greek, which is after the Hebrew, translated in 270 B.C., the word for knowledge is gnosis. It doesn't mean just knowing about something. It means actually participating in the word to know. Like, Joseph knew not Mary until the child was born. That word know there means far more. It's an intimate relationship that a man has with a woman, and Joseph knew not Mary. It didn't mean he didn't know about her or know her. It meant that he did not participate in any kind of conjugal relationship with Mary until that son was born. Now, that word know means to actually participate in. That when she took a bite of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she instantly had her eyes open, because now she was actually participating in determining what was good and what was evil. God had already told them not to eat it. It would be evil to eat that, and yet they took it. Now, Adam was the one responsible for that. Adam was the one responsible for the garden, because Adam was the one that God told that this is what this garden is for, and you're to till it, and you are to take dominion, and you are to pass this on to Eve, your wife. Well, Adam just sat back and watched her, and she ate, and then she gave some to him, and he saw that she didn't drop dead right there, so he took a bite of it too. And what they did was they were instantly separated from God. Now, they were still living, but they were dead to God. They were separated from him because sin had entered into the world, and sin separates us from God. What was so bad about that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It means that you determine what is good and you determine what is evil. And so when God came to the garden and said, Adam, where are you? Well, it wasn't because he didn't know where Adam was. It was simply because Adam didn't know that he was lost. And he was there, and he covered up, and he was afraid, and so was Eve. And he called him, where are you? And he answered, well, I heard in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. And God said, well, how did you know that you were naked? Now he is coming down, and he's getting to the sin point with him. Adam, you're lost. You've been separated from me. You did eat of that tree, the very tree that I told you not to, which says that you didn't trust me, and you trusted that lying serpent, the devil. And so the curses of God begin to come down, and God in Genesis 3:15, and this is something you just have to hold on to, Genesis 3:15, God says this about the curse that he is placing upon the serpent. And he said this, he said in verse 15 of chapter 3 in Genesis, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. There's going to be a battle between these two. It's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. I will put enmity, hatred, between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. Listen to this. It's to all of the offspring from then on, the his and hers, there is going to be a battle between these two seeds. And he's going to allow both seeds to be growing simultaneously on this earth. And they are vying for control of the planet. Which seed are you? Which seed are you? Here is what he says. He will crush your head, and you, the devil, will strike his heel. The devil did strike Jesus' heel when he nailed him to a cross. The devil did that. He struck his heel. But Jesus crushed his head when he rose from the dead. It was over. It was finished. Jesus had now retaken the authority that Adam had lost, the first Adam had lost in the garden. And now he had taken it back and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given me. Now go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I command you, and lo, I will be with you to the end of the age. This is so important. Now the authority, the thing that the devil had against us, the curse that was upon every single one of us, was now removed, and Jesus, God himself, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, had set us free, and he gave us the authority back. The authority that was lost in the garden was now given to all of us who believe on that name. And we are the ones that are called to stand and storm the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But I want you to look at 3:15. This battle between two worldviews, and really there are only two worldviews. There's 100 billion isms in between. Fascism, communism, socialism, liberalism, all of the isms in between, but there are only really two. And the seed of the serpent says something and sounds something just exactly like this. Tell me if this sounds familiar to you. It's my rights, my body, my choice, my thing. I do what I want whenever I want. I'm the captain of my ship. I'm the master of my fate. And my one commandment is, don't judge me. You see, that's the devil. That is the seed of the serpent. And when you see all of these people participating in these certain kinds of things, like homosexual sodomy that enslaves young men and women into sexual drives that they cannot resist because God thwarts the cravings of the wicked, yet he turns them over to those cravings and there's no way out. They can't get away from it. Men that get hooked onto porn and all sorts of other things, abortion, my rights, my body, my choice, it's all about me. I'm the master. I am the center. I'm surrounded north, south, east, and west by me. And we have this huge, ugly, awful thing that is centered upon me being my own God. I will determine what is good for me and what is evil for me, and woe be to you if you judge me. And don't tell me about any Bible. Don't you be hitting me with that book. I don't need it. I am God. Hear me roar. And you see the little I am shouting out there, shaking its tiny fist in the face of a loving Father who created us for so much more than this. And yet we are rebelling against him. And then there's the other seed. That seed of the woman. This is where the battle is raging between these two seeds, these two worldviews. And the seed of the woman says this. Listen to what Jesus said. Not my will, but thine be done. When he asked God to take this cup from me, if there is any other way, Lord, just take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, what a true man does is he lays his life down. Jesus said it this way in John. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You know, it's not all about me. It's not my rights, my body, my choice, my thing. It's not all of that. It's not. It's not. As a matter of fact, real life is found in the giving of my own away and allowing another to be the Lord over me, the one who created me, the one who designed me for a specific purpose, that one. And when his will is being done in me, I realize that I'm bought with a price, that I'm not my own. And therefore, I glorify God in my body, that the gifts that I have been given to me to give away to others. And John Robertson, this is exactly what you're doing, and what the Hagmans are doing is their gifts are being given away. Your gifts are being given away to others, that God might, through you and me, reconcile the world to himself, because God loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, love always gives. It doesn't demand my rights, my body, my choice, my thing. When they taunted Jesus on the cross and they said, "Why, if you're the Savior of the world, come on down off of that cross." If he had saved himself, a wretch like me couldn't have been saved. And because he loved me and because he loved you, he remained on that cross and there just hung on that cross and died on that cross, and everything looked like it was hopeless. The disciples dispersed. They left. It was, oh, we had hoped that he was the one, but look at what has happened. He's not at all the one that we thought. And he allowed his disciples to go through that disillusionment. Why? Jesus, why didn't you just come a different way? Why didn't you choose a different way? He had to do it this way to meet justice completely. And God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, and that we might be those instruments through which he would fight the battles of the day on this earth. Yes, spiritual battles first, but they manifest themselves right here on this earth. And John, you named some Supreme Court cases. I want to just you know, and I love the way you started with Engel versus Vitale, as God is removed from school, and Abington versus Shemp, which came right after that in 1963, where the Bible was removed from school, and then in 1973, what happens when you throw God out? What happens when he gets removed? Then all sorts of evil things begin to come in, and you begin to have sex with anybody you want. We talked about free love all through the 60s and the early 70s, and the problem with free love and doing whatever you want is that there are kids, and they're born. You know, as you have sex, you're going to have children. So we solved that problem, didn't we? We had Roe versus Wade on January 22nd, 1973. And we began to kill children in the womb. And we decriminalized abortion. You can never make abortion legal. Abortion is always evil and wicked. The only thing you could do, and what the Supreme Court did in its 7-2 opinion, was the fact that now it was going to be decriminalized. You see, the Supreme Court had declared itself God, that it knew better than God, that God said in the Sixth Commandment, "Thou shalt not murder." And the Supreme Court said in its 7-2 decision, "Oh, yes, we shout, and you shut up." And then in 1980, we removed the Ten Commandments from the walls of our high school. In other words, everything to eradicate every trace of God. We were throwing him out of the schools in a foolish opinion. And then a very interesting opinion that not many know about was an opinion in 1984 called Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And this Supreme Court decision was incredible in what it said. As a matter of fact, it's amazing to me. I have a hard time even getting my head to wrap around the cognitive thinking, because it's just like they were, the Supreme Court in their decision, it was just like they were at the tree where Adam and Eve were, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they decided to take of that fruit again. And it's amazing. And I want to give you this. It was a Kennedy O'Connor Souter joint opinion, and it said this. Now listen to this. This is 1984, Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And it says, "At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning of the universe, and the mystery of human life." Now listen to that. Does that not sound to you like, well, I self-identify today as this and this? Look at the Supreme Court of the United States of America paved the way for this in this Supreme Court decision called Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1984. With this statement that's in that joint opinion of Kennedy, O'Connor, and Souter, with this statement, the United States Supreme Court of America discounted its historical reliance on the transcendent standard of Almighty God. It said, we are God. We have a right to define our own concept of existence and of the meaning of life. I am my own God. So, on April 20th, 1999, and I remember this well, and I'm sure you do too, when Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold decided to go into their school and kill 13 people, and they did, including themselves, Planned Parenthood versus Casey was the one. They exhibited the behavior of Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Eric Harris posted on the internet this statement. He said, my belief is that if I say something, it goes. I am the law. And if you don't like it, you die. Feel no remorse, no sense of shame. That was April 20th, 1999. There it was, right there. You become your own God. What we are facing today is the magnification of this battle between two seats, and I'm really glad that it's here. I'm glad that Obama did what he did, and I'm telling you why. Because the church hasn't been taking a stand, and the pastors have not been taking a stand. As a matter of fact, the prophets are prophesying lies. They are bandaging the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Like, oh, this is a transgender thing. This is a homosexual thing that we can take it. No, no, no. It's so much bigger than that. This is the battle that began in heaven, moved to this earth, and we are fighting it, and now we are in the throes of losing everything, or we are going to wake up, and we are going to cry out to Almighty God, Lord, in Jesus' name, make us the church that you've called us to be. Help us to be the men and women of faith who will, with courage, get our chin set like a flint, and that we will carry this cross. We will deny ourselves, pick up this cross, and we will fight for the lives of our wives, our children, and our grandchildren and future generations, because our lives don't belong to us. Our lives belong to you. And God, if we die storming the gates of hell, help us to go down standing up in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we, our dead carcasses are lying on that barbed wire to those gates of hell, Father God, help our children to run right over our back and continue storming the gates of hell, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We are living in an age when the devil is trying to redefine what is true. We are living in an age when it's really dark and our light needs to shine, and all we need to do is get the bushel off of us and let it shine, and we will be amazed at what God will do. But until then, it's going to get darker. But right now, we have an opportunity. And this is where we are. And I just wanted you to see that this battle has been going on for a long time. And we are privileged to run our lap of the race right now.
Amen, Pastor Flip. And you said a whole lot there. Very important things that you covered. Very important. I think what you said about, you know, being thankful that the Obama took the action he did, making it a point for the making the churches have to either separate from the world or conform to it, is what you're saying by Obama's Amen. Decision here. And you know, the more that this issue gets brought out into the mainstream, the more people are marginalized for the their standing up for righteousness, the more it is going to separate the wheat from the tares, as you mentioned about Matthew 13 there at the start of your talk. And we're going to continue to see this separation. And unfortunately, I know too well that the majority of the churches will conform to the worldly standards, to the standards of the government, and to the practices of wickedness over the precepts of the Lord. But it happens for a reason, and God has allowed it to happen this way for a reason. And we will know the fruits of this battle when everything is all said and done. We're up against the top of the hour break, guys. Folks who might have joined us late, we're joined right now with John Robertson and Pastor Flip Benham He is with us tonight. They're staying with us in through hour number two, and Stan Deo will be joining us in the third hour. But in the next hour, we are going to continue to talk about the transgender issue as it has moved not only from the restrooms of Target, but into each and every school in America.
Trust me when I say this will be used as the basis for the criminalization of free speech. This will be the basis for the humiliation, the public humiliation, and the spread of communist groundwork, well, communist infiltration that we have seen, because this is part of the communist platform that is necessary to usher in a new way of life, a new world order. Not the end of the world, but the end of the world as you know it. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.